Many, many thinkers in the history of Christianity had had individual theses condemned. Remember, Lefebvre des Tops had recently gotten in trouble with the authority. Thomas Aquinas, for heaven's sake, had had some of his teachings condemned. So Rome was proceeding carefully, in other words. They condemned 41 things that Luther taught. They didn't yet condemn Luther himself. But they could not bend Luther to their will. And in 1521, Pope Leo X excommunicated Martin Luther. The break was then perhaps definitive. Now, at the Imperial Diet in Worm in 1521, the Diet was kind of the big assembly of the Holy Roman Empire, Luther came before the emperor. The emperor said, "Are you the only one around here who knows anything? Bist du allein klug?" And Luther made his famous statement, "Here I stand. I cannot do other than what I'm doing." Well, he refused to recant. He refused to give up his teachings. His safe conduct was honored. He was permitted to go back to Saxony, and there the elector, Frederick III, protected him. Now, Frederick seems to have had some genuine affection for Luther and some sympathy with Luther's teachings and his cause. Frederick also, as was true of a number of North German princes, was always looking for ways to sort of get out from under the thumb of the Holy Roman Emperor in the south. Obviously, the emperor, the very Catholic Habsburg emperor, was not best pleased with Martin Luther. So there was political circumstances here as well as religious ones. Now, before looking a little bit more closely at some of Luther's key teachings, let's note just a few more significant dates in his life. In 1522, he intervened in Wittenberg to control what he saw as the damage that persons much more radical than himself were causing. In other words, Luther did not think he had sort of unleashed the whirlwind of religious reform. He believed that he had gone about as far as it was right to go, and he wants to stop there. By 1529, at the Colloquy of Marburg, for example, Luther and his supporters made some modest overtures to Rome. Well, it turned out they were in vain. But what was very interesting was that in making these overtures to Rome, Luther was effectively slamming the back door against the Swiss Reform, the reform to which we'll turn in our next lecture. But Luther was not prepared to go where they had gone. In 1524, Luther married a former Cistercian nun, Catherine von Bora. They had a wonderful and warm and loving relationship over the next 20 years, revealed to us by a variety of quite intimate portraits, particularly in Luther's table talk. And Luther also provided at this time support for the destruction of the German peasants. The German peasants rose up. The German nobility, of course, was shocked by this. Luther, remember, in his treatise to the German, in his address to the German nobility of 1520, had called on them to reform. Now, Luther didn't tell the German nobility to go slaughter peasants, but he made it pretty clear that he thought it was not wrong for them to do so. Now, one of the interesting things here, of course, is that much of rural Germany, and particularly southern Germany, where these peasants were suppressed so violently, remained Catholic. These years also saw Luther's magnificent translation of the Bible into German. Luther's translation of the Bible into German did for the German language what eventually the authorized version, usually called the King James Version, did for the English language. This was a time when Luther wrote his greater and lesser catechisms. His lesser catechism for the instruction of ordinary people, his greater catechism, a little bit more sophisticated presentation of some of his teachings. He also wrote theological treatises. He also wrote biblical commentaries. He also wrote polemical works on a wide variety of refronts. He wrote works in Latin. He wrote works in German. He wrote a great deal of poetry. Some of this poetry was set to music and became among the most famous hymns and most favored hymns. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is perhaps the most familiar of the great Lutheran hymns. Now, Luther laid down a number of basic doctrines of what came to be called Protestantism. Now, the word protestant is a very simple Latin verb, third person plural, present tense. It means they protest. It was the first word of a remonstrance issued in 1529, where the word came from. So it's kind of an accidental word, an accidental label. The core of Luther's teachings, which come to be seen to some degree at least as the core of Protestant teachings more generally, turn around the three alones, or the three onlys. Salvation is by faith alone, sola fide. Faith is a free, mysterious, and unmerited, that means unearned, gift of God. Humanists such as Erasmus said that humans could exercise their will, could choose to believe. Luther believed that man was too corrupted by sin to make this choice. Therefore, the presence of faith is attributable to God alone, and people cannot take credit for it.